today. Check out all of their seasonal activities at BrookdaleFarmsInc.com.
Don't mess with big box stores or unreliable delivery from out of state when it comes to the PPE that you need. Instead, work with Marco Bertarelli of family-owned local staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Masks, hand sanitizer, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Bertarelli has it all. They even cut plexiglass to your exact needs so your business can get back to serving the community. Contact Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply today by emailing Marco at BertarelliCo.com or calling 314-664-4005.
Are you searching for someone that can help you market your business online? You need to call St. Louis Digital Media. Locally owned and operated, they are your one-stop shop for web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads, social media marketing, and more. We here at 590 have used their services for years and couldn't be happier. Get started today by calling St. Louis Digital Media at 314-200-5592 for a free consultation or visit them online at stldigitalmedia.com.
This is Mariah, third generation at Neustetter's Fine Jewelry. Buying an engagement ring can be intimidating. At Neustetter's, we ensure complete understanding of your purchase. We offer a choice in both lab and mine-grown diamonds and are able to work with any budget. Let our family help educate you on your choice at Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or at wowdiamonds.com.
At Kimmel's Chop House, you can still expect the same delicious food from Miss Kimmel's original cookbook, and they're giving St. Louis more ways to enjoy. Come out and enjoy the patio, set up perfectly for the season with heaters so you can enjoy the nightly live music. You can enjoy the ambiance and the finest Italian food in the area in three socially distanced dining rooms. And you can dig in with all your Kimmel's favorites during happy hour, 3:30 to 8:30 every night, with deals on drinks and apps. That's Kimmel's Chop House, 323 Westport Plaza Drive.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat?
Pitter-pat.
And that happy,
and that happy
is your step.
Yeah, that's your step.
Life can be so sweet.
Life can be so sweet.
On sunny.
On the side of the street.
I used to walk in the shade with those blue.
Okay, we're only on the air. No big deal.
This rover.
It's a big sexy world of sex out there. People having intercourse everywhere. So many types of sex to choose. We understand if you're confused. We need a guide for these sexy times with confidence and seductive chimes. He lives up in a secret lair and he's not a fan of underwear.
Sex.
I'll be a jazz rock fella.
Oh my.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Just in, two potential employers just bowed out.
Well, forget it.
We're thinking about hiring those guys, but we're not gonna. We don't want that show. What they do doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it doesn't. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. After today, the countdown continues. Five more shows after today, and then we hit the unemployment trail. Glad to have you with us on this, the 21st day of October. Another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
We may or may not get the Burke segment. I'm going to try to. Let me tell you what's going on here. Thank you all for the emails. I'm going to say probably no more joke requests. I'm at about 35.
Wow.
So if I try to tell all those, it'll take us to the end of the last show next Thursday. And I am going to try to tell them all. And I've jotted them down. I made a list. And it comes to about maybe 33. I'll knock a few of them out today. And then I'll tell why the joke is such an important part of the show, is the reason for the show. Kind of an interesting story. Maybe not. I'll tell it anyway. Does anybody have anything to say before? Oh, phone numbers in case. Look, this is the home stretch. The real home stretch will be next week. But whatever you want to talk about, if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them. If you are a radio station and you think you'd like to, I was going to say take a chance on this show. There's no chance to take. It's a proven success for 35 years. You could actually, here's what would be cool. Call us during the show and hire us. During this. Now, that would be a first.
Yeah.
Right.
Never happened in the history of St. Louis radio. Here are the numbers if you are an employer or a listener or you want to check in with Dr. Doug next hour. Remember, too, you only have one more shot at Dr. Doug, a terrific veterinarian, after today, and that's next Wednesday. So here are the numbers for all of that. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Does anybody have anything to say?
A quick one.
A quick one from Tim Woodburn. You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Thoughts and prayers go out to whoever was involved in the horrific accident I witnessed on the way here at the intersection of 44 and 141. I heard it,
whoa.
And then I saw the aftermath of it. It was a tree and stump service truck that probably was full of tree stumps and,
which are
and
heavy.
Limbs. This truck literally fell apart on the eastbound ramp that they just built about a year ago, going southbound on I-141, and then you take that big left turn ramp to go on eastbound 44. And this truck was on fire, and there was a guy standing there. I couldn't tell if he was burned or not or injured, but I mean, literally, it occurred less than 60 seconds before I arrived at that intersection. I was headed northbound on 141, and cop cars, all of a sudden, there's a cop right next to me, an undercover car. I had no idea it was a cop car. All of a sudden, sirens go off on it. He takes off, but a bunch of cars convening on it. It was really, really, I guess it's gas that causes a black flume of smoke. Is that what causes that?
Usually, or rubber.
Oh, okay, well.
Rubber's the blackest.
This truck was in about three pieces. It just fell apart. It looked like a missile hit it.
Well, the plastic, a lot of plastic parts in the truck. Plastic, rubber, that's the
gotcha.
the worst
true.
Smoke.
I'm always afraid of, I was thinking to myself, what would happen if this had happened in front of me? Would I get out of my car and rush up and try and help somebody? I'm always afraid
your
vehicle is going to explode.
I say you would.
You don't, really?
I'm kidding.
Oh.
That's a great point, though. If there's a fire, it'd be nice to be a hero, but you run the risk of blowing yourself up. I don't know the answer to that. I know that one time on the way, when I worked mornings, one morning on the way to work, I came down 40. I saved an entire family. They were burning to death in a car, and I pulled them off. I made that up. I wanted to hear what it sounded like if I'd been a hero, but I wasn't. That didn't happen. I don't know the answer to that until you're in it.
Yeah.
You don't know what you'd do, and I don't think the fact that somebody wouldn't jump out and run to the fire, that in no way makes them a coward. It makes them normal. Because running into flames, now, if it were somebody you knew, yeah, I'd probably dive
right
different. In.
That's
I just
different.
Would.
That's different.
I was also, I mean, when you see something like that, a person looking at it might just go into shock and be like, wow, what do I do now? You know, well, so you don't instantly just go into the
Here's the world we live in now. They grab their phone and they start before they'll video it before they'll try to save anybody's life.
Right.
They think, oh, I got video nobody else will have. And they stand there and video when they could have been helping somebody. Was there anything else?
Just, it's unbelievable to me. The first story I read on the newscast today, after midnight last night, a guy goes to 7-Eleven on Dunn Road in Florissant.
Right down the street from Londoff, actually.
And had a 16, and Lime, you can emphasize with this problem. Obviously, you've all had kids, and I haven't, but.
Well, that you know of.
He left a, yeah, right. He left a 16-day-old boy and a 10-month-old girl in the back seat of a car and left it running and unlocked at a 7-Eleven at midnight in Florissant.
Idiot.
Yeah.
And,
idiot.
I mean, why not just put a sign on the back of
take
your car that says, carjack me.
Yeah.
Right.
Carjack me, please.
And kidnap my kids.
And somebody did.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the freak out this guy? It took him 4 hours to find this
how
car.
How many kids were in the car?
Two. A 16-day-old boy and a 10-month-old girl.
I guarantee you the mother of those children whooped his ass when he got home. I guarantee
maybe,
you she whooped
or
his
maybe
ass.
Not. She may be every bit as irresponsible. Look, she's the one who chose this loser, this moron. I doubt it. I think they're both going to lose immediate custody of those kids.
If I did something like that, she would shoot me. I guarantee you his mom would shoot me.
I didn't even think of DFS getting involved. Is that neglect?
I would assume so. Yes,
I guess it is.
He left the children alone, and then they got kidnapped.
With the keys in the car and the car open?
Running.
No, he'll never have those keys.
If you've got to go into the gas station, then you take your kids with you. Like, you know, I mean, And if he, well, and I understand, well, he had both the kids at the same time, then he should have just waited until he didn't. The man's an idiot.
No, you shouldn't even have to say what he should have done. He's so stupid.
I know.
Yeah. That's it. Anybody else, Burke segment?
Yeah. No? Are you, I have something.
Dan Strauss, everybody, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. Are you enjoying the coffee that we made today?
All right. Now, what is that? Is this a setup? Did you urinate in this?
No, I didn't. I'm just talking about how we got to this final pot of coffee that we started brewing about 2:30.
When we worked at Westport, Dan,
yes.
Dan filled up a sink. He was trying to wash out a coffee pot, and he got distracted.
I was going to make coffee.
Well, you walked away.
Yeah. Yes, I walked
and
away.
And it overflowed. And it ran not only over the sink, the countertop, it went down to the offices below us and destroyed all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, you know what? He learned his lesson. He'll never do anything like that again until today.
Oh.
I came in here, I don't know, 20 till, and right. Dan's in the kitchen yucking it up. He's talking to Jim Hewer, and I'm standing there, and I went, you might want to look at the same thing. It's over. It's completely.
Hang on.
Spilling out all over the place.
Hang on a second, though, and Dan, to interrupt your Berg segment, I will jump in here in Dan's defense. This was not actually his or Jim's fault.
Well, let's name
the coffee
him. Let's
overflowing.
Name him. Let's name him. John Hadley.
Yes.
The very guy who fired us.
Uh-huh. Okay. That guy.
He deserves to be. And he is the guy who texted me and said, I've decided, if you read it in his voice, hey, dude, I've decided to make a change in the lineup, and we're not going to need the afternoon show anymore. What's interesting about Hadley, John Hadley is the guy who also is responsible for this show coming here.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy, the day I resign from the old place, he gets on the phone to Randy and goes, hey, dude, you got to hire these guys right now. And Randy didn't know who we were, and he said, well, okay, I don't think so. This is the show. This is the show. You got to have the show. It's a great show. That same guy, 3 years later, hey, dude, you're fired. So name him. Yeah, he's the guy who broke by trying to clean our coffee maker, broke it so that when Dan tried to make coffee, it spilled out all over the place. Yeah. And no, the coffee tastes fine out of the old coffee maker.
And then Jim Hewer came in, and we cleaned everything up, got the coffee maker back in order, checked everything, and started it again. And it looked like it was going great. And then all of a sudden, it started doing the same thing and spewing out all over the place.
Well, when you ask somebody, hey, how's that coffee taste? That right away I thought, oh, you know what? They all took turns urinating in it and said, let's give this to Frank, even though this is no, it tastes fine. And it doesn't matter how it tastes because I'm not a coffee drinker. I drink the same half cup of coffee throughout the whole show. I just keep reheating it. So it's fine.
What higher priority could Jim Hewer possibly have than making sure the coffee maker works properly?
No, he was here? He was cleaning too.
Yeah,
none.
What higher priority could he have here?
No,
I know.
That's it.
No,
that's like the job.
Should we close the Berg segment?
Yeah,
we can.
I got a couple things I wanted to go ahead.
Danny,
I was going to say one of my favorite coffee stories is a long time ago when Karen and Terry were on the show.
Yeah.
They saw a pack of decaf in the back, and I made decaf coffee at the time, and they just both reamed me and said, never make decaf. I said, you can't tell the difference. And they said, oh, yes, we can. So from then on, I got an empty pack of, I saved an empty pack of regular coffee and made decaf every single day.
And they never knew it.
They never knew.
And there's a lesson there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did a dumb, Limey, you're not married yet. You think you'll get married? Mm-hmm. I mean, just do you think you might? It's possible.
You're the only married guy on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I've been married. It was like, you know, there, done that.
Okay. So, you know, remember Sam Kinison's great line? They said, Sam, you make all these jokes about Jesus. Aren't you afraid you're going to hell? And he went, no, I'm not afraid. I've been to hell. I was married for 2 years. So the same thing happened with my wife, and then we're going to get to some calls here, but here's a word of advice to, you know, young guys who get married. Don't do this. Don't do what I did. We were at dinner. My wife, we're not drinkers. I'll drink I'll go 6 months and not have a beer. But she, at dinner, will have a Cosmopolitan or two. And then years ago, she went through a little martini phase, and we'd be at dinner, and she'd go, yes, Grey Goose, please. Or give me another vodka, Kettle One. Is that a vodka?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she'd say it like...
High end.
Like, mm-hmm. Well, of course it is, my wife. And she'd say it like that had to be made with that vodka. So I said to her, I said, you know what? You wouldn't know the difference between, what do they call it, limey or Tim, well drink, like a house vodka?
Right, or yeah. top shelf.
I said they could give you like a B-level, B-grade vodka, sort of generic. You wouldn't know. She says, I absolutely would. There is a difference in the vodka. So I excused myself with another couple and pretended I was going to the bathroom. I went around and got the waitress, and I said, would you do me a favor? When you make my wife's drink, what's the cheapest vodka you have? And I said, make it with that. So she did. Now, they bring our drinks, and my wife took a sip. She went, she says, you absolutely, is that good? She said, it's delicious. And there is a difference. And I said, well, apparently there's not, because let me tell you what, don't
man.
Ever do this, ever.
Oh, especially in front of another couple, and then tell her right there at the table.
I know. It was a bad, I'm admitting it, it's a horrible, horrible mistake.
How angry did she get?
8 years, no sex. That's, no, 12. 12
she
years.
Flipped the table over.
Boy, was she. She didn't yell, but the look.
The scolding
look. Yeah.
Wait till we get home, and wait till we go to bed for the next 12 years. That was the look, and I knew this was a mistake, and I should, but I was right, and I proved my point. Now, one of the things I like to do, I'm going to take a couple of calls. There are a couple of little funny bits that we have not played on this show for a long, long time. And it's not our material. I'd like to take credit for it. It's just flat out funny. I want to play one of those for you today. And then I'm going to try to get through 5 or 6 jokes at least. I've made notes of the jokes you folks have asked for, and I'm at about 33, 34. I think we have enough. And I'll try to get through them all. It'll just be like a joke marathon from here to the finish line. And then I want to tell you a story, if we have time, about why the joke is so important and how it became not only important to the show, but it's the reason there is a show. I want to play you a skit from 30 years ago that I have always found hilarious. And Limey, I don't want you to scroll down on that YouTube thing and find out any more information, because I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
This is at least 30 years old. It's self-explanatory. Everybody knows who Mr. Rogers was. Here we go.
Hi. We're going to talk about some nice things today. Did you know that? Sure. Some special things for you. Some special things for me, too. And we have a special guest here today. Can you say that, guest? Sure. I knew you could. We're going to talk today to a musician, the guy who plays the bass. You know what a bass is, don't you? Can you say that? Don't? Sure you can. Hello. How are you?
You think you get somebody to give me a cup of coffee or something?
You're not used to getting up early.
I'm not here yet.
What time do you usually get up?
I usually get up when the sun is warm, like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I like to get up around 6:30.
That's insane. You're stupid.
Huh?
You should sleep late, man. It's much easier on your constitution.
We're going to talk about your bass and how big it is and things like that. It looks like a violin, but it's bigger, isn't it?
It's a hell of a lot bigger.
Can you say...
Violin's a little wimpy thing.
Can you say wimpy?
Wimpy?
That's right.
Wimpy thing.
I like the way you say that. Did you know that?
I do now. The hell, you're easily amused, aren't you? I say wimpy, wompy, wambly.
I know what you mean. You know something? I like what your face does when you play. It kind of gets all sort of squinched up.
Yeah,
know?
Somebody told me once that my face, when I play the bass, it looks like some sort of like a big jellyfish or something like that. It just keeps moving.
Sure.
You can never identify what the face is, and real ugly sometimes, and real weird, looks like a fruit or something like that. It just keeps flashing at you, like somebody rubbing rubber or something.
Tell me some of the things you think about when you're playing, though, the images. Because, of course, when you're playing, I thought of things like sheep and things like that, little... candies, fresh little candies and things like that. Do you think of those things too?
Oh, I basically think about my financial situation. I count every like beat I play, every note I play, and I figure out how many notes I'm giving into the space, you know, out into space.
Sure.
For how much I'm getting paid, and I am working cheap.
Must be hard to sort of struggle to get your band together.
Though. Oh, man, especially when you be lifting piano, man. That is the worst.
I
worked as a mover for 2 years while I was first getting a band together. And I've also made pizza.
But now you're playing music, and sort of the story sort of has a happy ending, doesn't it?
It's sort of a happy ending. We just got the shaft from a record company that had promised to pay us a certain amount of royalties. And
oh,
they
that's too bad.
All sorts of stuff went into pre-production and charged
that's
us for typewriters. They'd be charging us for stamps, they say, and stuff. How much
sure.
is a stamp, you know?
Sure.
I'll buy the goddamn stamp. You
sure,
know?
I know what you mean. Well, I'm sure a lot of people out there would like to know how a big, strong guy like you plays the bass so well. Gets to be so strong, what it eats to be like that. Can you tell us that?
Well, I eat a lot of garbage food, but I mainly subsist on stuff like sandwiches and tins of tuna, chicken, something like that from a chain store, soda.
Do you ever have Egg McMuffin?
Sometimes, Dad, or cheese praters.
Can you say Egg McMuffin?
Egg McMuffin, yeah.
Well, I know what I'd like to do now. I'd like to hear you play some bass.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Well, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, no, it's too early for me. I got to drive.
Now, I mean, do you have any idea who the bass player was?
No, I have no idea who
Dad,
that is.
Do you know who the bass player was?
I think it was Bill Murray.
It was.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. No,
it was Bill Murray.
Bill Murray?
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
And and Mr. Rogers was Christopher Guest, who did a dead on Mr.
Yeah.
Rogers. But I'm going to tell you, garbage food, you know.
Cheese praying.
I was convinced it was Eddie Murphy for years. And then when I found out it was Bill Murray and read multiple, it blew me away. That doesn't sound anything like Bill Murray. So I hope you enjoyed the egg muffins, garbage food, my financial situation.
I say Wembley, Wombley,
yeah.
Wembley.
He's a, what time, I get up, when the sun warm up, 1:30. I get up at 6:30. Well, you crazy, man.
Let's go to Happy Place. Oh, I ain't ready for that.
No, yeah, the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
too early for that, man. I think
drive.
That thing is brilliant, and that is a sample of what SNL used to be like, you know, and I don't even know. I guess that was an SNL skit.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Was it a National Lampoon skit?
I don't
know.
I'm not sure, but it's old. It's been around a while. Let's take a couple of calls. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Before I take these calls, I'm going to tell a joke for Tim because I've got a pretty good handle after 3 years on which jokes Tim laughs the loudest at. And this is one of those, much like Pierre the Boil Sucker, that I'll just warn you, cringeworthy, but really, really funny. Let's go to Seymour. Seymour, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank. How you all doing?
We're doing fantastic, Seymour. How about you?
You guys remind me of a submarine crew. You're all going to resurface someday.
Well, we hope you're right.
I go back with you to the Force Aitikas days.
Oh, my goodness.
And that picture of Becky Dotson you sent me, I still hold it up with one hand.
Wow. You're back.
Every night.
You're back
so,
30 years.
Force Aitikas.
Force Aitikas. Anyhow, I just want to wish you luck, and I'm going to wait patiently this week so I can hear the Engelbert Humperdinck story.
Oh, it's on the list. Yeah, I guarantee you'll hear it before the final day.
I thought that's the one you were going to tell when you just said my name.
No, you've never heard this joke.
Oh,
that
yeah.
I'm going to tell.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Seymour. What?
Whatever happened to Calvin Slavin?
He's on the air somewhere. I don't know where, but he's on the air somewhere. And
drag him. Oh my God.
Well, maybe one day in a perfect world down the road, we'll be working at the same station together again. That'd be great.
You never know. Hey, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Seymour.
All right.
There goes Seymour, and here comes Travis. Travis, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, Dan. Hold on.
Oh, boy. Mike Evans. I think that bit's already taken. Somebody has that routine.
That was from a comedy. Man, I haven't heard that in 40 years. That was a comedy album. That's so funny, that Mr. Rogers thing. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. I agree.
There's a porn thing you can do. Give me the name of a pet you had when you were a kid.
And then add, like, your address
and then the street you lived on.
Right.
I had a
That would be the address of where mm-hmm. you grew up. Yeah.
I had a poodle named Pierre, and then we lived on Cavalier Street. So my porn name is Pierre Cavalier.
That's a good name.
Oh, I like that.
If you do it, it works really great sometimes. It's really fun.
Well, the other thing they used to do is they say take any top 10 or top 40 hit, and then after the name of the song, just put the words under the bed sheets. Okay. Beatles,
that.
I want to hold your hand under the bed sheets. Light my fire under the bed sheets. I mean, that was another goofy thing people used to do.
I've never heard that. That's great. It's like a fortune cookie in bed thing.
Yeah, sort of.
You got any French fry taters?
We don't have anything to eat in here. We don't got anything good to eat in here. I'm not going to be able to do this for a while. I might as well do it now.
Now you got it going.
Wait, I got another. That's not a joke, but it's a riddle thing.
No, I'm not good on riddles, but go ahead.
What does a crawfish? We say crawfish, Danny. We're down. I'm in Galveston. This is Travis in Galveston.
I say crawdad.
All right. So anyway, we say. Oh, I did it.
Anyway.
Yeah, you did.
So, what does a crawfish and a Chinese man who just got ran over by a steamroller have in common?
I don't know.
They're both crustaceans. Crushed
Asians.
Crustaceans. Oh. Crustaceans.
Give him a second rim shot.
Oh.
Crushed Asians. No, that's mm-hmm. good. That's good. Hey, kids, there's a Halloween joke for you, kiddies. Take that out with you when you knock on doors. But don't do it if an Asian family answers.
No.
Don't say it at the Wong House.
No.
The Wong House.
Make sure it's the White House, not the Wong House.
That was actually funny.
Yeah. He started it.
One more thing. My middle name is Travis Sebastian John is my full name.
Is that actually your middle name?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
I went to school and we had gun racks in the back of our pickup trucks, by the way.
Same as when I went to school.
Oh, y'all were talking the other day. We used to say if you get lucky with a girl, you can get some stinky on your dinky.
Well, we don't go for that. We don't go for that kind of
thing. Kind of
y'all
talk.
Were talking about things. Okay. Anyway.
Did you take
you guys,
the stems
man.
And seeds out first, sir?
funny.
What else,
funny
Travis?
Queer.
What else?
Funny queer.
Yeah, funny queer, not
hey,
funny.
I'm gonna miss. I'm gonna miss you guys. Man.
I'm gonna miss you laughing. You get a big kick out of yourself. I've been guilty of that too. Travis, I hope you don't have to miss us very long. Let's put it that way.
I love you guys. None of you in a sexual way.
All right. Well, we love you too.
Well, maybe, right. No, except maybe Dan's the funniest. Me, I love Dan.
I agree.
Love you. Not in a sexual way.
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
All right, Dan. Thanks for calling. Goodbye. Goodbye. Talk to you later. Shoot, he reminded me of something I wanted to say, and I just forgot it. I lost it. It'll come back to me. Let's go to Fishbone. Fishbone, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good. Hey, AM and the PM.
Since when?
For a while. I said, for a while, until you get on your next station.
Oh, okay. Thanks for waiting for us. Hope it won't be too long.
Hey, one thing I thought, maybe you could get Johnny lined off and Wonderworld to buy a station, and then you guys hand fit the whole station who's on it.
Well, first you have to find a station for sale. I think I know where there might be one pretty soon, reasonably priced, and that is not a bad idea at all. If four heavy hitter advertisers bought a radio station, one, they'd have tremendous exposure. And if it's the right station, the right price, and the right format, I actually don't think that's a bad idea, and I've thought of that. And that may be a slim possibility in the not-too-distant future. We'll see.
Well, that sounds good. And, you know, I never have figured out all these other stations, these little dick squeezers. They let you go, and then their stations fall to the ground, and they never learn.
Well, you know, first of all, nobody has ever let me go. And I've tried to decide, can I call this being fired for the first time? And I say it's on the fence because they didn't fire me. They decided to make a format change back to all sports. So they eliminated the whole show, which is different than them calling me and going, Frank, you're fired. So I must say that I've been half fired once in my life. So I'll call it being like half a firing.
Fire.
But they did not. And when you say everywhere I get let go, the station falls apart. Remember, I left the last place myself. I gave them notice. Before that, it was a station that was sold to people out. So there really was never letting me go. It just worked out that they changed ownerships or I left. And this is the first time any station has ever said, we don't want your show as part of our new lineup because we are not a sports show, obviously. So.
Well, that's my bad.
It's okay.
Hey, one other thing. I don't know if this is your joke, and I'll maybe just say a few, and then you can tell me if it was your joke.
Well, no joke is my joke. Somebody else told them before me, but go ahead.
All right. Man, you're starting to be like my wife. Collect me on everything.
That's what I do. I'm good at it. Go right ahead. What's the joke?
It was these three women had three boyfriends with the same name, and they decided to give them nicknames with soda names.
I'm sorry, southern names?
Soda.
Oh, soda.
Soda.
So far, it does not ring a bell. Go ahead.
Huh?
No, not
well,
yet. No?
All right, get your butt out. I don't know how far you can go with it. It ain't bad, but I don't know with the radio station. Three women had three boyfriends that all same name will call Michael, and they said every time they call, the wrong one comes, so she said, let's give them nicknames. We'll give them nicknames after soda pop names. And I may screw this up because I have to have a few drinks before I tell jokes good.
Well, you could call back later.
Well, I'm just drinking iced tea right now.
Okay.
But first one said, well, I'm going to name mine 7-Up. Still not registering, Frank?
No. And maybe it's okay. Because I can't tell it on the air, so I just kind of flush it out of my head. But go ahead. I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. And so the other two said, 7-Up. A 7-Up, why 7-Up? He got 7 inches. He's always up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I've heard it. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
All right. Second one was, hang on here. Oh, okay. Second one was Mountain Dew. And they said, Mountain Dew. Why Mountain Dew? When he mount me, he do me.
Okay.
All right. And the third one was Jack and Coke. And they both looked at him and said, Jack and Coke. That's hard liquor. She
says,
that's my man.
Oh, my goodness.
I like how you threw the little accent in at the very end.
Right.
That's my man.
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. Well done, Fishbone. Listen, check in on our Facebook page, okay?
I will, Frank. Hey, if Limey has time, and if you guys have never heard this, there's this radio show down south in Atlanta called... Rick and Bubba, the two fattest, sexiest men on radio.
Mm.
Well, anyway, they have a guy called in a live recording. They played it on, and it's a guy, I think, in North Carolina getting chased by a llama.
Okay.
And if Limey could pull that up, it's a true Southern 911.
Yeah, I think I've heard it. I think I heard it a couple of years ago. I think it's been around a while, but
it's been around a while. I've never heard it up here, so I was wondering.
Okay.
All right, I'll let you go. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Fishbone, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. When anybody says, "You ever heard these two guys on the station?" It's your typical duo FM DJ clowns that do practical jokes and phone calls. Some of them are funny, and some of them not. Just like some of the stuff on this show is funny, and some of it's not. Let's go to Stan. Stan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are all you doing this afternoon?
Let me check. How are we doing? Stan wants to know how we're doing.
I'm doing all right, okay. Yeah.
We're doing great.
I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
And always will be. You will resurface again, Frank. I mean, you're still a very valuable commodity to St. Louis.
Well, we're about to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out soon. What's up?
Yeah, well, I just want to ask Limey a question, because actually this is Ralph Stanley. Limey, you know who I am, right?
Yeah, I remember Ralph from the Broadcast Center. How you doing, sir?
I am good. I am just curious what your ex-wife's name is, because I know you married her. Well, after you went to Broadcast Center with her.
But yeah, that's right.
I can't think of her name.
Jeannie Garth. She used to work for WIL for a while.
That's just like a movie star.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jeannie Garth. Yeah, she sounded, I think she was on 90210 or something like that.
Jenny Garth.
No, Jenny Garth. Right.
You're right.
Yeah. No way, man. Blast from the past.
I agree. Well, if you remember that building, Frank, do you remember the, have you ever been in the Hampton Studios when it was KWK and K-Gold?
A long time ago. Yes, I was once. I don't know why, but I was.
Well, I know Dan was, because I was there when Dan was there.
By the way, when you had broadcast in, if one of your missions was to help Limey get rid of his accent, you failed.
Oh, he didn't want to get rid of the accent.
The accent was sticking around.
Okay, I didn't know. I thought maybe we could get you to lose that accent.
Absolutely not.
What else?
Obviously,
Stan?
Well, the reason I asked you about that is, and Limey remembers that that building, but back in the day, and this is almost like a couple little kids, I went back and made and you remember Gary Records Brown, of course.
Sure.
Rest his soul. Anyway, I said it, so go ahead and give it to me.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Stan, let me tell you something you don't know. Your dad, I think, was Charlie Stanley, right?
Yes. C-O-W-E-W.
I did a TV, I wrote and produced a television commercial for your dad a million years ago.
You guys are that old?
Really?
Yeah. He contacted me and said, I need a TV commercial. Can you come up with an idea? I came up with an idea. He liked it. We shot it. We put it on TV on, I don't know, Channel 11 or whatever. And I, for all the stuff I don't remember, I remember his name, and I remember that he was delightful to work with, and he, if I remember, was the king of trade. He traded everything. And what that means, folks, is if you have a radio station, you can, what they call, trade out. So let's say I own a station, and I go, Tim, I'd like you to do some PI work for me. Mm-hmm. I'd rather not pay you. How about a new sofa? We have an advertiser who's a furniture store, and they would trade the merchandise and services of advertisers for goods and services. Art. And your dad was like the master of trade. And I don't remember what I know that he didn't pay me, but it was a generous amount of trade for something, a washer and dryer or whatever it was. So, yeah, that goes way back, but I do remember that.
Yeah, and he had all of it, I'm telling you, with what's his name, and the Decent Boys. He deals with them.
Oh, Steve Mizzarani. Yeah. In fact, you know what? That's what it was. He gave me X amount of dollars in trade, said, go down, and Steve knows you're coming. And I went down there, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, about a color TV. That's what I got. I got
a color TV?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, for doing that TV spot. So nice to hear from you.
Well, you too. And, you know, I've got six siblings, and we always joke about it. We were fed on trade.
I'm sure you were.
I mean, we were literally fed on trade. Restaurants, and he had the biggest deal with national supermarkets.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you quickly that all nine of us got a cart with a lift, and we filled every cart up. We walked out of there with nine carts of food.
Hats off to your late dad. Oh, he knew how to work the trade thing better than anybody. Thank you for checking in.
Let me just tell you this real quick.
Sure.
Okay. What I was mentioning is Gary Records Brown. So we worked together in the late 80s in that building.
Okay.
I go make a pot of coffee. So in defense of Dan, I go make a pot of coffee, and I'm walking halfway down the hallway, which is, you know, I'm probably 35 feet from the kitchen at that point, and Gary Records Brown walks in the kitchen and walks back and goes, "Hey, Ralph." I said, "Yes, sir." "Get back here." So I go back there. I forgot to put the pot under it. So instead of him putting the pot under it, he goes, "Look what you did." And I go, "Seriously, dude? Seriously, all you had to do is put a pot under there." He goes, "I wanted you to see what you did."
I want you to see what you did.
Give me a break, dude. Wow. And it's all over the place. And it's just pouring right out because there's no pot underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at him like, good old Gary Records Brown. He was a nice enough guy, though.
And one of the great slogans ever for a radio show, music that was playing in the front seat while you were playing in the back seat.
Yeah.
for an oldies show. It's a great slogan.
Nice.
All right, Sam, we got to run, Ralph. Thanks for checking in, though.
I know you do. All right, take care. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you a joke that I'm almost positive I've not told here. It is cringeworthy. It is politically, not even politically incorrect, just flat out incorrect, and I'll do it anyway, and I'll do this for Tim. It's a guy who, for his wife, for the guy's 50th birthday, wants to do something special, so she goes to a tattoo parlor. She's never had a tattoo, and a tattoo artist says, what can I do for you? She said, well, my husband, I know this is going to sound weird, but he's a huge fan of Big Bird. When he was a kid, Big Bird was everything. And even as an adult, he's got Big Bird this and Big Bird that and Big Bird, lunchbox, Big Bird thermos, Big Bird everything. Big Bird, Bird keychain. He loves Big Bird. That sounds crazy, but he's a man's man, but he loves Big Bird. And I thought I'd surprise him by having B tattooed on my butt cheeks. You know, left and right butt cheeks. B. And the tattoo artist says, well, yeah, we can do that. And he said, you want to do it now? She said, yeah, why not? I had a couple of drinks before I came in. I'm ready to go. She said, but I do have a request. Could you put them kind of inside, like tucked in a little toward the center, more into the butt cheeks? Because I don't want the B's to show, like if I have a bikini. He said, oh, sure, we can do whatever you want. So she hops up and bends over, and he just spread your cheeks out a little bit there. Bzzz. He goes to work, and when he's finished, gets a mirror, and she bends over, kind of pulls them apart, and, yeah, two perfect bees, Big Bird, left and right. She pays him and leaves. And that night, when her husband comes home, she says, well, honey, happy birthday, and I have a surprise for you. He says, what is it? She said, well, you'll see. Turn away. Don't turn around until I tell you. So she pulls her pants down, her panties down, bends over. Says, what do you think? You can look now. He says, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to be. She realizes she didn't pull her butt cheeks apart. Mm-hmm. So see the both of the bee and the bee. She says, oh, here, hang on a second. So she pulls them apart. She says, now, what do you think? He stares. He goes, who the hell is Bob?
You know,
it's so ridiculous.
You know, one of the first jokes you told when I came on the air, and you've only told it once, was the joke about the gal that got the Elvis Presley tattoo on both thighs.
No.
On Elvis on one thigh, Elvis on the other.
You know why I don't tell the joke anymore?
Why?
Because women trim and they groom, and to tell that joke you need a bush in the middle.
Right.
You need either Willie Nelson or Jerry Garcia if it's an older woman. That's why I stopped telling the joke, because it doesn't make sense to anybody under 40. They don't know what hair down there means. No, that's a great joke. Let's do a little first community. Let's take a call for. Let me take Susan's call, then we'll do some business. I had a couple more jokes for you. Susan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Well, hi Frank. I'm doing fine. I wanted to let you know about, since we're reminiscing so much, that 20 years ago, my husband and I were supposed to go to an event across the country in North Carolina, and I got scared by 9/11, and I wouldn't fly. Mm-hmm. My husband really, really didn't want to drive, but I thought it would be fun to take a road trip. So I had ended up making about 10... cassette tapes of your program.
Wow.
So that he could listen to them while he was driving on this long road trip. And it ended up wonderful. Because, but see, he had been reluctant because he remembered road trips from when he was a kid, when his father would throw him and his brother and sister in the back of the car and just drive through.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't much fun.
No.
But it was easy for me to make these tapes because I had a radio that had an attached tape player on it.
Oh, we all had one of those. Built-in cassette recorder. Woo!
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Woo!
You bet.
And it was easy to do because I was in the kitchen at that time, you know, making supper, doing dishes, ironing.
As you should have been.
What a woman.
As you should have been.
And the woman came.
Yeah.
Wow.
But without meaning to, I didn't mean for it to be a time thing, you know, like a time capsule, but it ended up being that way because I forgot about them for a long time and got them out recently.
Are they still any good?
Yeah.
Can you still hear them?
Yeah, because I had wanted to go through all my tapes, because I taped other shows too, not just yours, over the years.
So can I give you a piece of advice? You absolutely need to transfer those if you want to keep them to some digital format, because you're going to lose them. That tape is Mylar,
right.
And Mylar stretches and it disintegrates, and you're going to lose everything on there.
Well, I've actually been wanting to do that, been trying to figure out how to make it digital, because I wanted to just, you know, put them on the computer and maybe just put them on my iPod.
Okay, there's a place called Clayton Studios.
Oh, okay.
And if you contact Clayton Studios, they have all the equipment to do that. Now, I don't know if they have to do it in real time or if they can do it on 2, 3, 4 times speed equipment. If they can, it'll go faster. I don't know what it'll cost, but if anybody can do it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, okay. It was just really fun finding these because it had some of your old, you know, regulars. I've got some segments with Bernice. No. And I've got Reggie on there, and I've got Dan talking about Reindeer Rock.
And you probably also have the same jokes that I'm telling this week. I tell the same 200 jokes over and over and over. But I'm glad we were able to make your trip a little better.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
that was it.
That's a nice call. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
See, people that listen here are nice. They're just nice. Maybe they weren't nice when they started, but they turned nice
Salt
after listening
to
the show. There you go. First Community Credit Union, two offers for you. One of them ends a week from Saturday. Here is that offer. It's a home equity loan. Use the equity in your house to borrow money for anything. It doesn't have to be money for home improvement. It can be for a vacation. It can be to pay off tuition. It can be to buy a car. It can be anything you want. It doesn't matter. They don't care. And if you apply for that loan by October 31st, for the first year, your rate is 2.75% APR. Not for the first month or 30 days or 90 days, for the first entire year. That is your rate. Then it flips over to, I think, 3.99, but all the details and the terms and the conditions are on their website, which is firstcommunity.com. Now, here's the second offer. And I don't know when this ends. It'll probably end after the show is off the air next week. But why risk missing it? They do it every year, and the result is a lot of new members at First Community. Here is that offer. If you have a car payment, and most of you do, if it's not at First Community Credit Union, move it to First Community Credit Union from wherever it is. They will give you $100 just for doing that. It's not a tricky $100. There's no catch. There's no hitch. There's no red tape. They just give you $100. That's it. As a thank you for moving your car loan over. Now, the other thing that is very likely to happen, it's like a bonus, a surprise, and that is that you will probably end up with a lower car payment because the rates at First Community they're famous, let's put it that way, for their extremely competitive and usually lower rates. So you got $100, possibly, even probably, a lower car payment. What's not to like? Home equity loan, $100. It's all on their website, and the website is firstcommunity.com. I have just enough time to talk to Travis before we break, and then we'll get caught up after that, and then Dr. Doug comes in, and you know the routine. Travis, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you? Got 1 minute. What's up?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you guys are such a great inspiration to me, and I love laughing. And I actually wrote a joke last night. I was so proud.
Could we hear it?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Easy. Easy, man.
I recently had my dog neutered. Great. So, well, at least me and him now have something in common. Neither one of us can lick our own balls.
Wow. You wrote that.
Wow.
That's all right.
Why do I believe him?
Wow.
Great inspiration.
Well, apparently
thanks,
not.
Man.
Why not? Good for him. He gave us that.
Well, Travis, I'll give you this, Travis. Very few people have ever written a joke that I know of. So good for you. We got to run, but thank you, Travis, for checking in.
Love you long time.
Well, we love you even longer.
Bye, Travis.
Than a long time, whatever that means. We come back. I'm going to get a little catching up to do. Get Bertarelli, another couple of jokes for you. We'll check in with John Londoff and Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Folks, you only have one more chance after today to get some great advice from one of the great veterinarians ever, a guy who is crazy, as crazy about your pet as you are, and he's never met your pet, probably. But he's the best He'll be here next hour, and then only once more after that, and that's Wednesday of next week. So thank you for being with us. Stick around. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Federal authorities have arrested a Maryland man saying he threatened to kidnap and kill Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden and running mate Kamala Harris. NBC's Sarah Bartlett has the